said around 13 years ago. And we started it there in my mom's living room. And there's just a few of us, you know, probably a story that many of you are familiar with also as well. And as we began to start the church there, we felt God had something really powerful for us. And so little by little, we began to see God begin to give us breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough. And I will say this about Victory Outreach Concord today, you know, I can see that there's been some things that have put in place for all of us here today, all of us church members, so that we can take advantage of taking our walk with God to a whole nother level. Someone please say amen. Amen. And as you take advantage of these things that have been given to you through life groups, doing life together, or even the P3, I would hope that it would be something that you really do take advantage of and to help you go to the next level. God wants to take this church, listen carefully now, to another level. And he's going to take the church to another level by first taking you and I to another level. And that's why I feel this message that I have for you today, it's a very simple message. Very simple, simple message. But I believe that there is power in simplicity. I believe that as we take from the Word of God this morning and you not only apply it to your life, but you evaluate your life, that I think your walk with God, even today through one service, can just go to a whole nother level. Yeah? And so that's why I titled this simple message today, Turning Decisions into Disciples. I know you're going to be baptizing in just a few moments, and I think that's great. It's wonderful because you've decided. Someone say, I decided. So you decided to get baptized. I decided to live out loud. I decided to not be quiet about my faith anymore. I want everybody to know what's going on inside of my life. And decisions are good. Someone say amen. Amen. Decisions are good, but sometimes they're not enough. Yeah, my pastor used to teach us there in the church in Hayward many years ago. He said two frogs were sitting in a tree. One frog decided to jump off. How many frogs are left? And naturally we said, well, only one frog. He goes, no, there's still two. Because just deciding to jump doesn't mean you actually jumped. And so that's why I say today that going from decision to disciple. Someone say, I'm a disciple. Come on, say, I'm a disciple. Come on, hashtag disciple. And that's what I want to hopefully take you through today. And I'm just, again, blessed to be here this morning with you all here today. I want you to stand one more time with me, and I'm going to go ahead and have you turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 21 and 23. And when you get there, give me a loud amen. Matthew, chapter 7, verse 21 and 23. You guys okay this morning? Yeah, you're going to have to talk back a little bit, because if you're quiet, I preach long. I don't care about the baptisms. If you're quiet, you might get baptized. You might have not decided to get baptized yet, but by the end, you might. But let's have some church today. Yeah, let's have some church today, man. Let's have some church. Praise the Lord. You're saved. You're sanctified. You're on your way to heaven. Come on, somebody. God has been answering your prayers. Yeah. You're sitting here today in the home. You're sitting here with your family. You're sitting here with somebody. Yeah. And so that's a reason to rejoice here today. And so Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 and 23, the Bible says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. Someone look to your neighbor and say, are you doing the will of the Father? Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons in your name? Did we not perform miracles in your name? Verse 23, then Jesus says, I will turn to them plainly and say, I never knew you. Mm-mm-mm. He goes on to say, away from me, you evildoers. That's a heavy word. That's a heavy, heavy word. Father, bless your word today. In Jesus' name, and everybody together said, You could go ahead and be seated. Heavy, heavy words, straight to the point this morning from Jesus. I have a question for you here as a way of introduction. And my question for you here this morning, Victory Outreach Concord, is, are you a follower of Jesus? Are you a follower of Jesus? I know what some of you are saying, duh. Like, duh, no brainer. I'm here, aren't I? True, it is. But it seems that there are many followers of Jesus. I mean, I'm on the freeway, and just like you are, driving on some of these same freeways, and I see bumper stickers all day of Jesus. I see crosses on the back of windshields, and the name of their churches that people go to. And the first instinct is to say, okay, they're followers of Jesus. Until, someone say until. Until you cut them off. And then they tell you off. So we see there's a lot of people that claim to be followers of Jesus. Someone say amen. But I'm not sure that that's an accurate description, followers. It seems to me that there is a more suitable word to describe some people who say they follow Jesus. Are you ready? That they're fans of Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you a fan or a follower? Come on, tell them straight up. You've been wanting to tell them that all month. Are you a fan or are you a follower? Ooh, Jesus. Let me give you the definition of a fan. A definition of a fan is simply an enthusiastic admirer. It's like this. It's like the guy or the person who goes to the football game. Let's pick on football today. Who goes to the football game with no shirt on. Come on, somebody. Paints his face half... Okay, there you go. See, now you're coming out. Red and gold, silver and black. Yellow, yeah, all those colors. It's the guy or the girl that goes to the game and paints their face and sits in the stands and begins to cheer for their team. They got the signed jersey hanging in their room at home, come on somebody, with multiple bumper stickers on the back of their car, but they are never in the game. They are the ones that never break a sweat. Talk to me here today. They never hit the open field. They know all about the players. They know statistics. They know birthdays. They know if they're married, if they're single. They know this, and they know what college they went to, what kind of car they drive, what kind of bat they use, what kind of this. And we know all about them, but we really do not know them. They yell and they cheer. Come on, somebody. But nothing is required of them. There's no real sacrifice from a fan. Ooh, it's quiet. You're probably trying to put the dots together now. But they're nothing but a fan. And the truth is, as excited as they are, if their team starts to let them down, or their team moves to Las Vegas, or their team moves from Candlestick Park to Great America, I don't know. It doesn't really bother them too much. Why? Because they're just a fan. Ooh, it's quiet up in here. You guys must take your sport seriously around here. Like me, like you guys will probably throw stones at me, but I could care less. I love the Warriors. I love them when they're winning. I don't watch them all season. I could care less. I care less how many, what their record is, as long as they make it to the playoffs. Then you know what I do as a fan? And then I go to my room and I got 5 different Warrior jerseys. All brand new still. People hate me. True Warrior fans hate me. But I don't care because I'm a fan. And I'm proud of it. Come playoff time, I dust off my jerseys. I wear the yellow one night. I wear a black and yellow one night. I wear a blue and gold one the other. I have all these different ones. Come on, somebody. All I am is a fan. I'm not on the court night after night sweating. I'm not on the watching film on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. I'm not sacrificing anything. Because why? Because I am just a fan. I am just an enthusiastic admirer. Listen carefully now because we're going somewhere. I think Jesus has a lot of fans these days. Fans who cheer for him when things are going well, but they tend to walk away from him when things get difficult. Someone say amen or say ouch. I don't know. Fans who sit safely in their seats week after week, Friday after Sunday, talk to me here today. Cheering for Jesus as long as everything is going good. But the minute trials come, the minute sacrifice is asked of them, the minute they're asked to get out of their comfort zone, you ain't hearing me today. Don't get quiet on me. I'll jump off the stage and start walking through those. I can see you, but I can't see you. But I need to hear you today. Because I need. There's somebody here today under the sound of my voice that you've been a fan for too long. You've been cheering for Jesus and cheering for this one and cheering. Oh, but the minute things get difficult. Oh, God, it's quiet up in here. Yeah. As soon as the sacrificial season starts coming, we start seeing who are the real fans versus who are the real followers in the house of God. Someone say amen. Throw me a mercy amen. Fans of Jesus who know all about Jesus. They know all about his exploits. They know all about him, but really, truly do not know him in an intimate way. Jesus was never interested, stay with me now, in having fans. When he defines what kind of relationship he wants, enthusiastic admirer was never an option within his vocabulary. My concern here today for Victory Outreach Concord is that this place would go from being a sanctuary to go to becoming a stadium. Let it never be said about Victory Outreach Concord that we are no longer a sanctuary, but we're a stadium. Filled with enthusiastic admirers. Filled with, as long as the team is winning, I'm in. As long as the team has a good record, I'm in. As long as Pastor Bob's in church, I'm in church. Ooh, Jesus. Is Pastor Bob here? Is Pastor Bob here today? Is the head coach here? Oh, he's not here? Oh, I'm not. I'm good. Oh, God. I'll leave that one alone. It doesn't sound like you want to hear that today. Come on, somebody. I don't even tell my church I leave anymore. Come on, somebody. There's a lot of fans in the house of God sometimes. You're getting quiet now. Hey. And every week, all the fans come to the stadium and they cheer for Jesus, but really have no interest in truly following him. The biggest threat to the church today is fans who call themselves Christians, but actually are not interested in following Christ. They want to be close enough to get all the benefits, but not close enough that it requires anything from them. Oh, you ain't hearing me today. We're going there. What did your guest speaker talk about? I don't want to talk about it. I don't remember. Something about sports. He's a horrible Warriors fan. That's all I know. If that's all you, I want to get you from here to there. Yeah, I want to get you from this place today because maybe you've just been having that attitude this morning. Maybe not all of you, but some of you have been having that attitude of lately of just coming, yeah, and we watch and we love what we see. We love what everyone else is doing. Great for you, brother. Great, you go, girl. Yeah. But not me. No, yes, you today. Yes, you. If you're not getting baptized today, maybe next time you'll get baptized. Maybe something's going to start shifting in your life. Maybe you're going to go from being a fan, an enthusiastic admirer in the house of God, to saying, I'm all in. Come on, someone say, I'm all in. This church, when it goes to the next level, is going to need everybody. Someone say everybody, to begin to go to the next level and become all in. I want to talk to you just real quickly today about a man that jumped out to me when I began to think about a fan or a follower in the Bible. There's many of them there. Trust me, there's they're in there for the pickings, man. There was a lot of people who started off at one level, but because they made a decision, yeah, to not just stand by, but to actually do something with their life, they begin to go from being a fan to a truly, fully committed man and woman of God in the house of God. If you're taking notes, you could write this scripture down. We're not going to turn there, but it's in John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. And the Bible says that there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. And the Bible says he was a ruler of the Jewish people. Verse 2 says he came to Jesus at night. Someone say at night. And he began to say, Rabbi, thou art a teacher who comes from God. For no man can do all these miracles unless you, except you, come from God. So we see here Nicodemus's first impression, I guess you can say, our first encounter with Jesus. He kind of comes to him at night. He comes to Jesus at night. And because he comes to Jesus at night, that says a lot about him. Because he was a ruler of the Pharisees. He was a man that was held in high respect. He was reverenced. He was well thought of. He had his life together. Come on, somebody. He carried himself well. He spoke well. He was a trusted man. He was a good guy. Come on, somebody, in the community. And when you talked about and when you thought about Nicodemus, you go, man, that's a good dude right there. Man, Nicodemus, that is a good, godly man. However, we see Nicodemus coming to Jesus at nighttime. That also says a lot about him. See, he wasn't your average, everyday fan. Stay with me here. Nicodemus was a well-known and well-respected man of God. He was a member, the scriptures say, of the Sanhedrin. This was an elite group of the community and religious leaders. As a matter of fact, Nicodemus, this is how this dude had it together. He had memorized the first 5 books of the Bible. Just had them memorized. Come on now. When's the last time you remembered a book? Yeah. How about a chapter? How about a scripture? This dude knew the first 5 books. Boom. You just memorize it and come off the top of his head. Right? He had been an admirer of Jesus for some time now. So he had the knowledge. He had the know-how. He was an admirer. He watched Jesus work. I'm going somewhere. Had some incredible miracles. He had seen blind people being healed. He had seen demons casted out. He had seen miracles happen. He had seen Jesus have compassion and love towards people. And the story begins with the time of day that Nicodemus approaches Jesus at nighttime. Someone say at nighttime. So what does that say? That simply says, and that communicates to you and I here today, that he had plenty of time to come to Jesus during the day. He could have came. He had juice. He could have surely told the disciples, hey, tell Jesus I need to speak to him like right now during the day. He could have simply said, I need to have a one-on-one with Jesus right now. That would have worked. They would have definitely did it. But he didn't do that. The Bible says he came to him at night. Why did he come to him at night? Because he had a lot to lose. He had a lot to lose. He didn't want to lose his place in the Sanhedrin. He didn't want to lose the respect of all the people that were also religious. And here's a man that knew the first 5 books. Here's the man that read all about the Messiah. Here's a man that had known the scriptures inside and out. You ain't hearing me today. Here's a man that knew all about Jesus, but one thing he lacked is he lacked the intimacy with Jesus. Knowledge is good. I read. I'm learned. I love all of that. I love it. I squeeze education out of whatever I can. Come on, somebody. Yeah? But what good is education if you don't have the intimacy with really, truly knowing Jesus? And that's, I guess, what this is all about. See, he was kind of just like flirting with God. He was like flirting with Jesus. Like, let me go at night when nobody knows. Let me just wake up early before everyone else wakes up and just go to church. Let me just, I don't want to, like, I want it, but I don't want the sacrifice with it. Let me just go at night where it's really not going to cost me anything. Someone say amen. Amen. See, at night, no one would see him. At night, he would avoid awkward questions. At night, he could spend time with Jesus without anybody knowing. Maybe he would start a relationship with Jesus without having any real changes. And I think that's sometimes where we could be. I just want to know him enough, but I don't want to know him too much, because then he's going to start wanting to change me. Just enough. I love you, Jesus. Just a little night visit with you. Just a little, just enough, but not too much. And then you're going to start wanting me to change. You're going to start wanting me to act right. Talk to me a little bit here today. At night, he could follow Jesus without impacting his personal life, without impacting his family, without impacting his friends, without impacting his job. See, at night, it was a little bit more easier. I could just kind of have it my way, if you will. See, that sounds a lot, if we're not careful, guys, like fans. See, fans are happy to follow Jesus as long as it doesn't really require any significant change in their life. I'm going somewhere. Ooh, Jesus. See, because here's the thing, is that we want a little remodel job in our life, right? Just remodel me a little bit. And Jesus says, I'm not trying to remodel you. I want a full renovation. Just change the spark plugs, God. And he says, I'm not trying to change the spark plugs. I'm trying to rebuild the engine. Just paint the outside of the house, Lord. Just don't sand. Just don't spray it. Just roll it. Just a nice little, make me look good on the outside, Lord. And God, he says, no. See, you're asking for shallow stuff. Because there's no way you can truly encounter Jesus without Jesus coming to really want to change your life. And some of us, we need to get to that place where it's not a scary thing. Some of us are so scared. Oh, my God. I don't want to change. Like, I just want the religion part of it. I just want to just keep my wife off my back. I just want to keep my husband off my back. I want to keep mom and dad off my back. I want to keep my boss off my back. Come on, somebody. I'll go in the home, but I'll go for 1 week. Any 1-weekers in the house? Don't raise your hand. I've seen somebody go, whoa. So just give me just a little bit. I don't want the full renovation, but I'm here to tell you today, Victory Outreach Concord. God does not want this place filled with enthusiastic admirers. He does not want people that are only here for the show. He does not want people here in this church that are only going to be around for the good times and for the breakthroughs. But God is looking for men and women that say, I am in. I am in no matter what the church is going through, no matter what the pledges may look like. No matter what my pastor is requiring me, no matter what my leader is requiring me, if that is my next step, then I'm all in. Someone say I'm all in. Stop being a fan. Stop being an enthusiastic admirer. Start encountering Jesus. See, I get excited. I get excited because I was just like that. I said, when I came in the home in 1998, this is what I thought. This is what I thought. I'm just going to go in the home. I was court committed. And I'm just going to finish this little sentence I have. That's how I thought. Come on, home. And then I'm going to get out of the home. And then one of the guys in the home tells me this. One of the guys that think they know everything. Which one is it, are you? They're like the home lawyer. They know all the rules, but they don't follow them. Right? They know all the little loopholes. Yeah, they know all the little everything. They know all the. And he came and he goes, how long are you going to be here? I go, well, I got a year, you know, sentence to be in the home, court committed. He goes, dude, he goes, you, this is what he told me, word for word. He goes, you could beat that. I could beat that. Like, I thought my sentence was over. Like, I'm kind of done trying to get over on the court system now. I'm kind of done. He goes, oh, no, just do 6 months. He goes, you just do good. You just pray. He started telling me all the surface stuff to do. All the surface. He started painting the surface Christianity to me. Right? He goes, if you just do that, don't get undisciplined. Don't do nothing. Just be good. Be a good little Christian. Be a good little boy. Lay low. They'll let you out in 6 months. I go, yeah, but I'm supposed to be here for a year. He goes, don't trip. And so right away, he said, so then my mind started getting in the flesh. I'm like, if I can just get out of here, I'll go get a job. Yeah, I'm going to get a job. And I'm going to mind my business. And then I'm gonna get an old lady. So I'm going to get an old lady. Yeah, I'm going to get an old lady. And then I'm going to get a Regal. I'm going to get a 1986 Regal. I'm going to paint it burgundy. I'm going to put some little star wires on it and put hydraulics on it. Yeah, I was in the flesh. I was doing that. I had this real surface understanding of Christianity. If I could just behave for 6 months, if I could just behave for a year, then I'm going to get all these benefits from God. It doesn't work like that, because God was requiring more of me. And it didn't take me long to shrug that conversation off. It didn't take me long to shrug that mindset off. It didn't take me long to say, that's not what I want. God did a miracle for me to be inside of that home. I mean, God literally put all these pieces together. He spoke to the judge. He spoke to my attorney. He spoke to this. They weren't even supposed to be in court that day, but Victory Outreach ended up being there, and because they were there, got me in the home. God says, don't forget about that miracle. So stop coming to me at nighttime. Stop coming to me with surface stuff. Stop coming to me with that little prayer, little small little stuff, and being so surfacey on the outside. Christianity is not a surfacical. Is that a word? It's a word now. It's a new word. Hashtag surfacical. Yeah, it's there. It's in my dictionary. Stop being so surface with God. And then he started going deep with me. Oh, woo. It was kind of scary at first. I said, man, I got past the honeymoon of being with the Lord. I was like, oh, man. And then he started going deep in me. There was times where I'd just be broken out of nowhere. I would be in church just like this, and Pastor Steve would be preaching to us, man. And all of a sudden, something that he said, the word of God would just penetrate my heart. It would just go deep, slice right through my soul. And I would say, whoa, where did that come from? And all of a sudden, I would get emotional, and I would start breaking. And the breaking I had was, man, I got to get my daughter back. Man, what am I doing thinking about getting a job and at least right now, and getting a Regal? And, you know, the old lady never came. I barely got here. Yeah, you heard it right. 6 years ago, so I've been serving God 21 years, and barely got married 6 years ago. You do the math. I don't know the math. I gave up on the math. 15, 16 years. I don't know what it was. Single. Anyway, that's a whole nother story. Because why? Because God had to go deep. He was going deep. Someone say deep. See, some of us here today, you got to let God go deep. It actually sounded like it would hurt, but I ended up better. And he would start telling me, you got to get your daughter back. So then that became the log in my fire. I said, man, I got to get out of, I got to finish this home. And if I get undisciplined and all that, so what? It doesn't matter. I need to graduate this place. And then I graduated the home. Come on, somebody. And then God began to, yeah, my daughter is here right now. She's 26 years old now. And little by little, there's a host of other stuff that God began to just heal me of. My father's death. My father had died a year before I came in the home, and I felt guilty. I felt ashamed of it. I the last time I seen him, it was all bad, and I had to live with that guilt because I didn't get a chance to tell him goodbye like I wanted to tell him goodbye. But then the Lord began to, I still don't know why, but I do know the Lord healed me, and the Lord told me, listen, things weren't right between you and your dad when he passed away, but your dad knew
This is what the Lord told me. Your dad knew you loved him, and you knew your dad loved you. You guys were both knuckleheads. You guys are both fools. Don't be identified with that. Just know. And then the Lord began to heal me of that. Come on, somebody. Years ago, I couldn't even say what I just told you without breaking down, dropping the mic, and walking out. But the Lord healed me from that. Come on, somebody. Why? Because it wasn't surface anymore. I don't want to just be a fan. Come on. I don't want to just know what to say in church. I don't know. I don't want to just know all the religious activity. Come on, somebody, of the church. But I wanted to know God. The Bible says Adam knew Eve. You know what that word new means? K-N-E-W? It simply means intimacy. See, that's the difference between a fan and a follower. I'm almost done. Is a fan just does all the stuff. There's no sacrifice. Oh, they know how to cheer. They know what to say. Come on. They know when the seventh inning stretches. Come on, somebody. They know the song. Take me out to the ball. Okay, right? It doesn't even come from the heart. You just know it. It's all here. Some of the songs we sing here today is coming from here. But it's not coming from here. See, it's got to come from here. It's more than just nice words on a TV screen. It's more than just nice words they're singing. It's more than lyrics coming out. But it's got to mean something. Come on, somebody. Yeah? Because of who you are, I give you glory. You might not know that one. That's kind of an oldie. Because of who you are, I give you. I can't sing, but help me out. Act like I can. Just because of who you are, I will give my. And that song right there, it just breaks me. It's just because it reminds me of where God brought me from. It reminds me of how shallow my relationship with Jesus used to be and how far he's brought me now. I feel like we're in. I feel like we're locked in now. Someone say, I'm not a fan, but I'm a follower. See, for Nicodemus coming at night, it would have costed him a lot. Most of us don't mind God asking God for some minor changes. Come on, somebody. A little touch-up work. Yeah, but God is desiring something much more deeper. Fans want to be inspired. Come on, somebody. But followers want to be changed. Some of us, we come, I just want to be inspired. Give me some goosebumps and I'm all right. Just goosebump me, Lord. Just goose. And then people ask, how was church? That was all right. What do you mean? I was like, I didn't get goosebumps. Yeah, I didn't get goosebumps. I didn't cry. Like, you got to have this big emotional, like my wife said, feelings. Like, I didn't feel it. Like, I don't come to church to feel anything. That's not my motive for coming. I come to honor God. I come to worship the Lord. Whether good, bad, come on, somebody, happy or sad, I come and I lock in with God. And then we see, and I'm going to move a little quicker here. So we see he comes to him at night because he didn't want a lot of sacrifice. If you move over to John chapter 7, verse 45 and 52, I'm not going to read it all, but trust me, it's there. It's a conversation that they're having, I guess, in the courtroom. And they're trying to come up with a way that they can basically put Jesus into jail and eventually take his life. But the Bible says in John chapter 7, verse 45 through 52, that Nicodemus does something that they were not expecting him to do. A man that at one time came to Jesus at night now takes a stand for Jesus. The Bible says he stands up basically in the superior court and begins to stand up and fight for Jesus' life. Verse 51, Nicodemus comes to Jesus' defense. And he risks his career, he risks his reputation, he publicly speaks up, and in that moment, he stops becoming just a fan, and he becomes being part of a true follower. Stay with me now, we're almost done. There is a big difference between being a fan and a follower. Remember, many have made decisions and believed in Jesus without making a commitment. Someone say commitment. To follow Jesus. Many fans have repeated the prayer, raised their hands, walked forward at the end of the sermon, and made a decision to believe. But there has been really no true commitment to follow him after that. Jesus is looking for more than words. He's looking for more than someone to start. He's looking for someone to start living those words. So when you decide to believe in Jesus without making a commitment, we are nothing more than a fan. Someone say, oh my God. Yeah, I'm stepping on toes a little bit today. It's all right though. Come on, somebody. Don't you want more of God? Like I see great things for this church. Like, how long have you been here, Pastor Bob? 5 years. Come on, somebody. I wish I would have had all this stuff in 5 years. P3. Life groups. Like, you know, leadership. A piano player. Singers. Like, I only wish I would have had all that, but God has given you the resources early on. Don't take that for granted. Yeah, it's like you gotta understand sometimes, like, what kind of church you belong to. It's almost like, you know, when it's your own house, you kind of don't see all the broken things. You know they're there, but you don't pay attention to them. You know, until someone else comes, and then tells you, hey, do you know your knob's broken? Or, and you're like, oh yeah, don't trip. Or even sometimes you got a nice place where you take care of your house, and sometimes you take that for granted too, until someone goes, man, you got it going on here, brother. You got it going on, man. Look at, flat screen. Oh my God. And then it really starts reminding you of what you really truly have. Well, I'm the one telling you guys got something special going on here. This really is not normal. Let me just say that. So if you're here and you're still a fan, it's okay, because today God is going to take you from being a fan to a follower. Those of you who have already decided, you're fully committed, there's no convincing you anymore. This is your church. He's your Jesus. He's your pastor. This is your pastor's wife. This is my church. I ain't going anywhere. Come on, somebody. Well, I'm here to tell you that you got something good and special going on. Don't grow weary in well-doing. And I'm almost done here. Let me get the keyboard up here, as a matter of fact, just to prove to you that I'm almost done. So we see here that he went from being a nighttime fan to now he takes a stand for Jesus. Sooner or later, you're going to have to take a stand. Sooner or later, you're going to have to wear the T-shirt. Okay, I'll take a 2X. You're going to have to take your stand. Yeah, like it's got to happen. And then thirdly, in John chapter 19, verse 38, at the end of John's gospel, Jesus had already been crucified, and the body had already been prepared for burial. And the Bible says that Nicodemus shows up again. Pretty heavy. So he comes at night at first. He didn't want to risk it. Then he takes a stand. Says, oh man, this is it. I'm putting it all on the line. I don't care if I keep my job. I don't care if I keep my friends. I don't care if I keep, because he's done too much in my life for me not to take a stand. And then at the end of it all, Jesus was already pulled off the cross. His body was already for burial. And the Bible says Nicodemus shows up again. John chapter 19, verse 38. And he brings myrrh, he brings aloes, and he brings 75 pounds of all of those mixtures. It was an expensive gesture that Nicodemus says here. You know what he's basically saying? He's basically saying, let me take care of the funeral. Let me take care of it. God has blessed me. God has brought me a long way. God has brought me to a place of spiritual brokenness. And at first, I was hiding from this. Today, I can't hide from it anymore. God has been too good to me. He's done too many great things in my life. And if he's done this in just short period of time, then I know that he's going to do much, much more for my life. And listen, because of that, I want to give a gesture here, he says, and I want to basically take care of the funeral of Jesus. Make no mistake, this gesture cost him more than money. There was no chance of hiding his affection towards Jesus anymore. While many had abandoned Jesus during this time, even the apostles, everyone abandoned him, Nicodemus took a stand. The Bible says he was no longer a secret admirer, or I say he was no longer a secret admirer, or an enthusiastic admirer, but he had become a true follower of Jesus Christ. And then we don't hear nothing about him anymore. He kind of just rides off into the sunset. You say, what happened to this dude, man? Well, we don't need to know all the details. We need to only know today that he went from just deciding to now following, wholehearted, a full commitment, all in. Someone say all in. I used to think, man, if I give God everything, that's what I used to think. Oh man. And you know, sitting in Victory Outreach, like, I go, man, what else does Pastor Steve want?